Hello, I'm Gordon Thorne. This is number 0554, the Stuff File Program, with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File Program, number 0554. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File Program, you'll meet Barbara Allison, who is a kindergarten teacher who very quickly wrote the book, Stuck at Home Activities, Activities to Keep Kids Busy and Parents Sane.
As soon as the schools were closed all over the country, and I noticed that all of the toilet paper memes being replaced by ones with parents panicking, wondering what they were going to do, or that a teacher had been laid off for drinking and two students suspended for behavior, I thought, I've got to do something. So I started a couple days before and just wrote almost day and night so that I could get this out.
Sean Bolden is the owner of the Lucky Devil Lounge Strip Club in Portland, Oregon. He's keeping his strippers employed by having them deliver food to homes with a service called Boober Eats.
All this stuff started coming up and they shut down all the bars in Portland. I was just trying to figure out how to keep all my staff employed, so I was thinking about just starting a food delivery service. And in a tweet, I said, hey, we're gonna keep our employees going. We're going to start a food delivery service and deliver the food with topless girls. We're going to call it Boober. And from there, it just kind of exploded with people just wanting this service all over the city, all over the state.
Stuart Nullman is in with another edition of Book Banter.
Hi, I'm Stuart Nullman, and Book Banter looks at the story behind the lovely lady and the man named Brady with The Way We All Became the Brady Bunch. So dish out the pork chops and apple shosh with Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. It's all happening soon on the Stuff File Program.
And there's lots and lots of Stuff File news and, of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0554, was filmmaker and editor Gordon Thorne, who most recently worked on the Hallmark Channel series When Hope Calls. Gordon and his lovely bride, Michelle, are both people that I've known since high school. So there you go. Thank you very much, Gordon, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File Program, a show that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Well, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? You know, at times like this, we can all use a little bit of levity. Humor is the best medicine, they say. But even in the name of humor, and also in the name of freedom of speech, there are certain things you can't do whether you're being serious or joking. For instance, as a joke, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. As a joke, you can't say at the airport check-in, I've got a bomb. As a joke, you can't yell out, hi, Jack, on a plane, even if you're just acknowledging your friend Jack. And at this time, when people on social media are asking you to share all kinds of idiotic posts, you can't share ones like this. The social media post in question shouted out in all caps, share, share, share. It announced that the Rapids Parish, Louisiana Sheriff's Office issued an order that if deputies encounter anyone infected with COVID-19, they should shoot on sight. There is, of course, no such order, and investigators say they tracked the post to 27-year-old Waylon Allen Bailey. He was arrested without incident on a terrorism charge and faces up to 15 years in prison. We are all in this together, said Sheriff William Earl Hilton, and communicating false information to alarm or cause other serious disruptions to the general public is a crime which will not be tolerated. Now, that's a precedent that ought to shake up social media, huh? Also, think how idiotic Waylon's going to feel when he's in prison and other inmates ask him what he's in for. His story isn't going to really add to his prison cred, is it? Now, if you went to a certain Publix grocery store in Lake Worth Beach, Florida, looking for toilet paper recently, you were in for a disappointment. If, that is, you looked on the shelves. If you looked in the air over the parking lot, that was another matter. For 10 minutes, a drone called Angelsoft carried a roll of toilet paper aloft with a short stream of paper fluttering from it as a humorous stunt. The pilot had previously flown Angelsoft in downtown Lake Worth Beach, earning viral status on the internet and a warning from law enforcement. "I just wanted to taunt people and make fun of the whole thing," said Chad Rondeau, the pet groomer turned performance artist behind the drone. "I don't know why people are stocking up on toilet paper." So, basically, with his one roll of toilet paper, Chad is an excrement disturber. Yeah. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, Lop Buri, Thailand has thousands of monkeys that have divided into two gangs, the temple monkeys and the city monkeys. Now, normally they leave each other alone, but a rare incursion of the temple monkeys into the city monkeys' territories resulted in a brawl. Well, this has a familiar ring to it. Wonder if the monkeys can handle Jerome Robbins' choreography. According to Bu Um In, who witnessed the violence, the leader of the temple monkeys led the incursion to find food, and the chief of the city monkeys led the defense, fighting off the other gang and forcing them to retreat. There are many theories being put forward as to the reason for the sudden outbreak of violence. 75-year-old Somchai Unakong said he's never seen this before and considers it a bad omen. He asked, "Did this relate to the COVID-19 virus that is spreading?" Well, you know, COVID-19 has a bunch of humans acting like monkeys, so why wouldn't it make monkeys act like humans? If only there was some tough beat cop who could get in between these monkey gangs and calm them down.
"You hoodlums don't own these streets, and I've had all the roughhouse I'm going to put up with around here. You want to kill each other? Kill each other. But you ain't going to do it at my beat."
Yeah, if only. Anyway, let's get to our first guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? With the current situation of everybody having to stay home, that means that parents are stuck at home with the kids. They're trying to entertain their kids and also trying to teach their kids, and many are doing this while they themselves are trying to work from home and be productive. But how do you do all of this? Well, Barbara Allison is a teacher who has put together a book of activities that are all child-tested, parent-friendly, and most importantly, doable with stuff already in our homes. She's a kindergarten teacher who is the author of Stuck at Home Activities, Activities to Help Keep Kids Busy and Parents Sane. And she joins us via Skype from Nanaimo, British Columbia. Hi, Barbara.
Hello, Peter.
Thanks for being on the program with us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
Now,
although I wish the circumstances were better.
Yes. When did you put this book out, by the way?
On the weekend.
On the weekend. So it's in more ways than one. It is definitely timely.
As soon as the schools were closed all over the country, and I noticed that all of the toilet paper memes being replaced by ones with parents panicking, wondering what they were going to do, or that a teacher had been laid off for drinking and two students suspended for behavior, I thought, I've got to do something. So I started a couple days before and just wrote almost day and night so that I could get this out.
So tell us about Stuck at Home Activities. What are some of the easy things that parents can do with their kids around the house? Things they probably never even thought of doing before this.
Well, you know, these aren't things that they've never thought of doing before. It's likely things that they've done but have forgotten. One of the ones that I like is the GORF, the Good Old Reliable Fort. And that's a blanket fort. And, you know, it can be as simple as a big blanket thrown over the kitchen table, Or you might even just pull the couch out from away from the wall in the living room and put the cushions up to be a roof. Simple things like that. Another great one is the cardboard box, which has been called the greatest pediatric brain-boosting technology in the world, complete with a few crayons, too. Kids will play in a box for a long time.
I remember whenever somebody would move into our neighborhood or someone got a new refrigerator, the box was always the best thing to play in.
You know, and people have done these things, but you know, somehow we've gotten so used to technology, or kids have all of the toys, but we forget how sometimes, even at Christmas, they'll play with the box rather than the toy.
What are some of the other things, some of the other activities that you suggest?
Now, some kids can be pretty anxious, and so we need an activity for them that will calm them down, but one in which they can be close to us, and yet we can still get a little bit of work done. If you're in the kitchen, run some water in the kitchen sink. You can put a little soap in it, but don't bubble it up yet, and hand the kids an egg beater. Let them make all the bubbles that they want, or have them throw in a bunch of things to see if they float or sink. Do you remember when there was a sink full of bubbles, but you wanted to find something at the bottom that you could use a clear glass, and you just held it kind of down through the bubbles, and you could see all the things in the bottom?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a great science activity that we can do with the kids. Another one is to just have clear water and let them see which things will float and which things will sink. Some surprising things like a plastic fork will sink depending on how you put it in the water. We did that activity in the bathroom one time, but little sister couldn't reach the sink like big sister, and there was no water in the tub, so she used where there was water and discovered what things would float and sink in the toilet.
Oh. Now, it's interesting because you mentioned that one with the egg beater, and I thought, wow, that's an aha moment. Never thought of doing that. And I could see how some children could spend hours just captivated by that.
And, you know, one thing about soapy water is that if it makes a mess, it's just soapy water. It's pretty easy to clean up.
Now, as a kindergarten teacher, when you're normally in school, are these some of the things that you do with kids? Because, quite frankly, I remember my own kindergarten experience, and that was a horror story.
Some of these things are. And, you know, for all of the parents that are really worried about how are we going to replace school, let's have a look at our expectations. Our kids are happy, they're fed, they're sheltered. So what if they miss a few weeks of school? We can catch up on that. What's most important right now is that they feel secure and that they feel loved. Yes, I do remember doing the box in kindergarten. In those days, it was something to do with the space theme, and we made a rocket. All of these activities are play, and play is the brain's favorite way to learn, even for adults.
Well, I was just about to ask. I was thinking, having to come up with the ideas for kids to play, doesn't it help with the parents rekindling of their own imagination and some of the things they used to do as a kid?
Absolutely. And think of the things that were most fun for them. Drawing on the sidewalk, making mud cakes. Those can all be done now.
Yeah, that's true.
They're like a lost treasure of the way that we used to play. And as soon as parents start doing these kinds of activities with their kids, they will remember, oh, I used to do this. Try that with your kids. And also, once kids start playing like this, they will come up with their own ways to play.
Now, as I mentioned, you are a kindergarten teacher. When we're talking about these kind of games, obviously we're talking about kids around the age that you teach. But is there an age range that you're trying to hit, not just the kindergartners?
Kids from about the age of 1 up to about 6 or 7 or even 8, and some of the activities will include the whole family. It doesn't matter their ages. Maybe you'd like to have a beach party at home. Depending on the weather, This is more or less doable. You might have to put on a sweater with your bathing suits, but put a blanket on the floor in the living room. Find out all of the things that you'd have, the good books that you'd like to read. Turn on the lights and pretend you're suntanning. Get out the beach towels and have a beach party. Or maybe a movie night, and the kids can color the tickets, they can decide on the treats, they can choose a movie, and best of all, if the kids want to earn some money or some points to spend on the treats, give them a few jobs. Cleaning the bathroom is worth 2 points or $2 that you can use towards a bag of popcorn. You can get a lot of work done that way.
Absolutely. Now, you have a website which is called 123kindergarten.com. Tell us about that site and what it offers.
That site has an awful lot of plays of the day, things that you can do for pirates, for fairies, for dragons, for dinosaurs, lots of those kinds of activities. And I have just a very basic website that I started as soon as I published the book called StuckAtHomeActivities.com that has links to the book for Amazon.com and Amazon.ca.
Excellent. So now that you are at home yourself, are you going a little stir crazy not being at school?
Well, and besides kindergarten, I also have a library. And getting ready for spring break, I thankfully brought home quite a selection of books that I wanted to just read and make sure that they were appropriate for the kids, and also to have some activities that I can do with my students from kindergarten all the way up to grade 7. So I have a lovely pile of books, most of which are red. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I may have to try and get some more.
As someone who is a kindergarten teacher, and you do have a website and you are online, we're talking to you via Skype, have you had the opportunity to stay in contact with some of your students while this is going on?
I sure have, although not so much the current students as previous students. One thing that I always did at the end of the year, too, was give my students a phone number, a coupon with my phone number that was good for one phone call. So over the years, I've had phone calls from them. And if they have any younger brothers and sisters in school, they know how to get into contact with me, too.
Excellent. Well, the book is called Stuck at Home Activities, Activities to Keep Kids Busy and Parents Sane. And how can people get the book again?
Amazon.com. or Amazon.ca as an ebook. It hasn't had time to come out yet as a print book.
Okay, so it's only an ebook. The website you have is 123kindergarten.com, and you have another one you mentioned.
The other website is stuckathomeactivities.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Barbara, for taking the time to be on the program with us. And again, great ingenious ideas that you've come up with that I'm sure, as the subtitle of your book mentions, will help keep some parents' sanity out there.
I sure hope so, because that's why I did the book. And good luck to all those parents that are coping right now. It's so hard to be productive. But remember, we can always think of work as a way to play and incorporate play into our work too.
Barbara Allison, author of Stuck at Home Activities, Activities to Keep Kids Busy and Parents Sane. It's an ebook only right now, but you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0554, and you'll find links to Barbara's site, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order her book directly. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Government of Canada and public health experts are taking action to protect Canadians from COVID-19. Protect yourself and others, especially those with medical conditions and older adults. Wash your hands often. Avoid touching your face. Cough or sneeze into your arm and disinfect surfaces. You should also avoid crowded places. Avoid all non-essential travel outside of Canada. And if you're sick, stay home. To learn more, visit canada.ca/coronavirus. A message from the Government of Canada.
The Stuff File program is a listener-supported, fan-funded radio show that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Sign up and find out about our rewards program. Being a patron doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. There's absolutely no obligation. You could join today and end whenever you'd like, but the time we have your support would be so greatly appreciated. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show and even your ideas for rewards. Join us for the ride. Join us at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram. You're listening to The Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder, coming to you from Montreal, Canada, where we share the longest unprotected border in the world with the United States. Take that as a sign of extreme friendship or a warning.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to the owner of the Lucky Devil Lounge, who has created a service called Boober Eats. And Stuart Nunlin will be along with another edition of Book Banter. We do indeed have an Idiot of the Day coming your way and much more Stuff File news here on the Stuff File program, which is heard everywhere, including on Stitcher and TuneIn, and can also be heard via Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Just click on the Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify buttons located on the website at thestufffile.com. And whichever platform you listen to the program on, please feel free to leave a review of the show on their site. It would be greatly appreciated. Well, let's get right back to the stuff, shall we? On March 11th, 65-year-old Kenneth Braden filled his shopping cart at a Nashville-area Kroger store with essentials, 5 cases of beer and 2 packages of toilet paper. Then he bypassed the checkout lanes. As he attempted to leave the store, he tripped the alarm sensors at the door and the wheels of his cart locked up. After several unsuccessful attempts to move the cart, he fled the store. Police later picked him up and charged him with theft of merchandise and driving on a suspended license, because in these stories, they always have a suspended license. Well, no beer, no toilet paper. At least, he's half lucky. He's going to go to jail. There, they have toilet paper. Taiwan has strictly cracked down on its citizens during the pandemic, using GPS on phones to monitor the movement of those in quarantine. One man got a particularly costly lesson when he violated that quarantine to go clubbing. The unnamed man, who was required to self-quarantine for 14 days after returning from Southeast Asia, was charged 1 million Taiwanese dollars. That's about $33,000 U.S., after he was found in a Taipei nightclub on March 22nd. Authorities deemed his night out malicious, and the new Taipei mayor warned, "I will not be soft-handed." Well, soft-handed or hard-handed, I hope he at least washed those hands. But seriously, isn't it a bigger question to ask that why on March 22nd was a nightclub in Taipei still open? That's what I'd like to know. Anyway, boys and girls, it's time for a special coronavirus edition of The Darwin File.
I am the Grim Reaper. I am death.
A Rwandan man who reportedly defied a nationwide coronavirus lockdown to go fishing has been killed and eaten by a crocodile. The African country's more than 12 million people have been under a stay-at-home order since Sunday to control the spread of COVID-19. Alice Kayatesi, the mayor of the southern Kamonyi district, said the tragic incident happened Wednesday morning in the Nyabarongo River. He had broken the stay-at-home rule, she told the BBC. He's among very few people here who are not cooperating with the lockdown to stop the virus. The tiny East African nation has the highest number of coronavirus cases in the region, but at press time, no deaths have been reported so far. So, basically, the only person who is dead in Rwanda from the coronavirus is a guy who broke the rules to go fish for dinner, and instead, he became dinner. The Darwin File. Because the tree of life is often self-pruning.
I have come for you. I am dead.
And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, because of the pandemic, many businesses have closed and others have become extremely creative. For instance, One Las Vegas strip club is staying open amid a 30-day shutdown recommended by the state's governor, and they're taking social distancing to a whole new level by offering drive-through strip shows. Little Darling Strip Club is offering drive-through strip shows for those who want to indulge in some adult entertainment but do not want to enter the building. Said Ryan Carlson, director of operations for Little Darlings, guests can drive up to the front door, and we're going to have dancers separated by the 6-foot separation rule, and they can enjoy a totally nude show right from the seat of their car. The 10-minute drive-up shows will run a patron $100. Tips are encouraged. On Saturday, we're doing nude XXX hand sanitizer wrestling, Carlson said. We have about 20 gallons of hand sanitizer, and we're doing a nude hand sanitizer wrestling show. Okay, with the potential shortage of hand sanitizer, doesn't anybody see a problem with using 20 gallons of the stuff for nude hand sanitizer wrestling? Mind you, during regular business situations, you kinda hope that a strip club would go through about 20 gallons of hand sanitizer. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program. And it is kinda related to the last story we just shared. You know, with the complete shutdown, some businesses have been forced to become very creative in order to continue to earn some money. In the case of an Oregon strip club called Lucky Devil Lounge, they've decided to offer a food delivery service with a twist. It's called Boober Eats, and it's the idea of the club's owner, Sean Bolden. Sean joins us on the line from Portland. Hi, Sean.
How you doing, Peter?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for being on the program with us. I am reminded, as a matter of fact, you reminded me, that you were on my old radio show 11 years ago.
That's right. Yeah, I definitely remember your name, and I remember the tickety-boo.
Back then, you were talking about something called stripperoki, and we'll get to that in a moment. Let's get to what we're dealing with now, and that is the idea of Boober Eats. Explain that to us.
Well, you know, the concept came from just a joke saying, "Hey, how about we start a boob delivery service? Call it Boober, where a topless dancer picks you up and drives you to the club." And this was back in December, and then all this stuff started coming up, and they shut down all the bars in Portland on Monday, last Monday. And I was just trying to figure out how to keep all my staff employed. So I was thinking about just, starting a food delivery service, just with Postmates or one of the local ones. And in a tweet I said from the bar, I said, "Hey, we're going to keep our employees going. We're going to start a food delivery service and deliver the food with topless girls. We're going to call it Boober." And from there, it just kind of exploded with people just wanting this service all over the city, all over the state. And I kind of saw an opportunity, and I just kind of assembled my team, and here we are today.
Now, in Portland, Oregon, here we are near the end of March. What is the temperature right now, roughly, outside, especially in the evening when deliveries, I'm sure, take place?
So when we started doing this, it was our first night in business was St. Patrick's Day. And spring is here in Portland, so it's in the upper 60s. So it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. All the cherry blossoms are blooming and the sun's out, and yeah, it's great. It's not cold at all. I mean, we're a really mild climate place anyways. So
now I'm reading a lot of news reports about this. People are making light of it, but underneath there is an actual serious situation. And that is, you know, you have a business that employs X amount of people, cooks and bartenders and the like, and of course the exotic dancers, the strippers, and they all earn a living. And of course, no one is earning a living right now, but you've managed to keep your employees employed. Now, I understand that the girls aren't exactly making the amount of money they would make in the club, but they're making something.
Well, you know, in this environment, everybody's taking a pay cut, and You know, even the girls are taking a huge pay cut. But, you know, everybody's doing this just to put a little bit of money in our pockets. And, you know, it's half put money in your pockets and it's half keeping our sanity, basically.
What is the reaction that you've been getting from basically around the world? Because I'm sure, I mean, this story's gone everywhere. What's the reaction you're getting?
Everything that I've seen, every write-up we've had, the Rolling Stone, the Huffington Post, the Willamette Week, our local paper, every place is kind of applauding us for just being able to maneuver in this new world, this new environment. And it's been awesome. You know, I went on a delivery myself with two of the ladies, and when we showed up, it was like somebody's birthday. And, you know, people are quarantining themselves. They're staying at home, and they're just trying to, you know, everybody's got their eyes glued to the TV, and, you know, and every day you see, you know, these death tolls going up and this virus spreading and this impending doom coming. And, you know, for people that have issues with, you know, mental issues or anxiety, it's a really difficult thing right now. So, you know, this is kind of making light of the situation, and it's kind of just putting smiles on people's faces.
And we should mention, you know, for security reasons, you have your security guards, you have your bouncers. They're the ones who are driving the girls around, who are delivering the food. So it's not like they're going there alone and unprotected, right?
Well, first and foremost, our safety is our number one priority, and it's always been our number one priority, even when we were just running a normal strip club. We employ over 20 DPSST security guards. They're all trained, they're all certified through the state of Oregon. And you know, that's the first thing we thought about was, how do we make this service safe? How do we make it safe for the dancers? So instead of just sending, you know, a lot of people have the misconception that we're just, you know, having these ladies go to random places and drop food off. And that's not the case at all. What we're doing is we're teaming up the girls in pairs of two. And then we're pairing them up with one of our DPSST security drivers. So so the security guard drives them, has a flashlight, escorts them up to the door. You know, kind of just hangs back and just makes sure that, you know, everything's safe. And we've had zero issues. I mean, everybody is just really giddy about the service. I posted a couple videos of some of the service calls on our Instagram page. Boober PDX, and you could see firsthand, like, I mean, a couple of the girls are even now like singing happy birthday to people who are having birthdays, and it's really cool, just all the positive feedback that's coming back from this. And, you know, hopefully when this is all said and done, you know, we can, you know, just contribute to the positive side of this whole thing.
Now, the Lucky Devil Lounge is one of those places that is a strip club that has an actual full kitchen. So you're offering, you're offering the full menus that you normally would offer at your establishment. So tell us some of the things that you can get and what people are normally ordering as this delivery service.
Well, you know, I think our number one orders right now are the chicken strips, French fries, and then we also offer steak bites, which are also kind of like our favorite dishes at the club. We also have, you know, a bunch of pastas. We have chicken Alfredo, mac and cheese, penne bolognese. We offer some seasonal veggie pastas, and we also have a few vegetarian and vegan options too. So we have there's a huge community of vegan people here that need to eat as well. And we're offering those things to them as well. So,
and I would assume with everything that's going on that you're also doing the recommended social distancing, that nobody's getting too close to anybody in these cases.
Well, you know, in the beginning, you know, this thing is just ever evolving. Every single day there's new stipulations. There's, you know, first, you know, in the beginning, the hashtag was social distancing. Like, everybody was, you know, hey, wash your hands and be socially distant. Now the new thing is stay at home. Don't leave your house. just stay at home. There's no need to go out unless you need to get these essential services. So we're now just trying to preach to everyone, you know, hey, stay at home, and, you know, we'll deliver food to your doorstep in a safe way. We'll keep socially distant, and, you know, you can get a little bit of entertainment while you're stuck at home. So,
okay. So again, with logistics on this, we're talking about strippers. So they're topless. Do they go in?
No. So they're topless, but they're wearing pasties.
They're wearing pasties. Right.
So they're covered up. But you know, the cool thing about Oregon is the Oregon Constitution protects nudity as freedom of speech.
Okay. Fair enough. So, I'm just wondering, are you finding that the clients you have is a broader spectrum of the people who actually went to your strip club? In other words, are you seeing new people who may have never ventured into the Lucky Devil Lounge?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would say 75% of our business are all new clients or new people that are ordering this service. So,
and has anybody from your organization, when they go to these houses, have they asked whether these people, these new potential clients, would, when this is all said and done and it's all over, would venture into the Lucky Devil Lounge? In other words, are you actually building up your client base through this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think just the exposure that we've gotten, people are going to want to come see these girls in person once this is all over, you know, and we're not really pushing the like, hey, you know, come see us afterwards. I mean, some of the girls probably are, but you know, our main goal is just to continue to employ everybody and continue to just bring food to everybody. So.
Well, you've done this again. 11 years ago, we spoke about stripperoki. Are you, when you're up and running as normal, are you still doing stripperoki? Is that something that has continued all these years?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's crazy because you know that was we were kind of known for stripperoki, and this was at Devil's Point. This is the other club that I own. So you know, stripperoki has always been just our bread and butter, just like. Always, you know, it's strippers and karaoke. I have the trademark for that. And just that was something else I invented 15 years ago. And we're just, and it's still just our busiest night of the week. And it's awesome. So I've reached out to some of the guys that work stripperoki, some of the dancers in our KJ. And I think they're going to work on doing possibly kind of a webcast thing of doing stripperoki with just the dancers and the DJ or the KJ. So,
yeah. You know, between stripperoki and between Boober Eats, Sean, you are a marketing genius.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's crazy. You know, it's like, you know, it's fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it. So,
thanks for being on the program, Sean. You and all your employees, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay employed. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Peter, good talking to you. Hopefully we talk again soon.
Sean Bolden, the owner of the Lucky Devil Lounge in Portland, Oregon. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0554, and you'll find links to their site. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
Got something for the mailbag? Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. Send your email to mailbag@thestufffile.com. And remember, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's mailbag@thestufffile.com. Or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Information about children with this disease is limited, but they are known to have had mild symptoms. Many organizations are responding accordingly, depending upon their area. It's best to stay home and away from others, especially when sick, and continue following healthy hand wash guidelines, covering mouth and nose and not touching your face or high-touch surfaces. clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces regularly, and for more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Often I mention my book, Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. I also often mention that I'd like you to become a patron of the Stuff File program via patreon.com. Well, this is my opportunity to combine both of those pleas to you. You've heard me say on many occasions about the myriad of celebrities I've had the chance to talk to that are contained in my book, which is published by Bear Manor Media. You've also heard me mention that some of the celebrities in my book, and many others, can be heard on our page at patreon.com. Well, if you've been on the fence about joining Patreon, let me try to pull you over to our side. By becoming a patron, you help to make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. And if you do become a regular patron, as a Patreon reward, I'll share with you an electronic version of my book for your e-reader. So join Patreon and claim your copy of Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. Sign up today at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram.
Latitude 47 degrees 14 minutes north. Longitude 84 degrees 39 minutes west. Location Montreal, Canada. This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nauman. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And here he is, once again, the youngest one in curls, Stuart Nauman. Hello, Stu.
Hi, Peter. I thought you were saying I'm the one in the lower right part of the tic-tac-toe board.
No.
Well, at least I have some hair that you could still curl, so, you know, at least that. But it's not blonde, sorry. And I don't have a kitty carry-all doll, all right? So there. So on this edition of Book Banter, if you were wondering why we're making all these references, well, yes, it's about the Brady Bunch, you know, in case you couldn't tell, but because that's what I'm going to be reviewing, a book about the Brady Bunch. Because you see, when I was young, Peter, back in the early 70s, you know, before I hit my teens, I used to watch a lot of TV, especially Friday nights on ABC from 8 to 11. Great lineup. I mean, it started with the Brady Bunch and then went from Partridge Family to the to Room 222, The Odd Couple, and Love American Style. So for during the early 70s, on Friday nights, that was my viewing habit. Now, it's been I always thought they were cool shows and they were funny and they catered to my age group, especially the first two shows. Now, it's been over 50 years since the Brady Bunch first went on the air, and since its last original episode was broadcast back in 1974, the exploits of the lovely lady, the man named Brady, their six kids, and a wisecracking housekeeper named Alice has never left the conscience of the baby boomers who made Friday Nights at 8 during those five seasons a very Brady viewing experience. I mean, look, how can you forget Marsha, Marsha, Marsha? Or Peter breaking mom's favorite vase with a basketball? Sam the Butcher, Marsha's football nose, the silver platters, those trips to the Grand Canyon, Hawaii, Cindy's kitty carry-all doll, and Peter's faux Humphrey Bogart impersonation as he says, pork chops and apple shosh. You can't forget that. So, entertainment reporter Kimberly Potts is aware of the Brady Bunch's lasting contribution to pop culture over the past 50 years, and she pays tribute to the Brady's road from Friday night sitcom to pop culture icon in her fascinating book, The Way We All Became the Brady Bunch. Now, using a great deal of research and interviews, Potts gives the reader quite an absorbing backstage history of the Brady Bunch from the conception, in which creator Sherwood Schwartz wanted to give the TV sitcom Nuclear Family of the 50s and 60s a new twist, as well as have the situation seen from the kids' point of view instead of from the parents, to the casting, as everyone knows that Gene Hackman was Schwartz's first choice to portray Mike Brady, and Jeffrey Hunter, who's best known for his role as Captain Pike in the first Star Trek pilot, was rejected because he looked too perfect for the role.
Well, interesting. Huh? Well, the man did play Jesus Christ, so.
Yeah. That's true.
You don't want a Mike Brady who can walk on water.
No. Or always giving that Sermon on the Mount when his kids misbehaved.
Exactly.
And as well, when you read this book, you get treated to many interesting Brady facts that are being revealed for the first time, such as the entire cast taking up needlepoint between scenes, which was Ann B. Davis's favorite hobby, and becoming quite adept at it. And because there was that long-running creative feud between Robert Reed and Sherwood Schwartz over the lack of realism in some of the show's scripts, that if the Brady Bunch was going to be renewed for a sixth season, Schwartz was ready to fire Robert Reed and replace him with Robert Foxworth, who was almost like a doppelganger for Robert Reed.
I thought you were going to say like Dick. That? I thought you were going to say Dick Sargent.
Then again, he wouldn't have been available if that was the point.
Yes.
And also, as a bonus, Potter landed an interview with the substitute Jan, Jerry Reichel, and she gives her experiences for the first time on what it was like to work on the short-lived Brady Bunch Variety Hour in 1976-77, and she admitted that she enjoyed the entire experience. Pretty good, huh? Now, but the story doesn't end with the Brady Bunch going off the air on ABC. She also focuses on how Brady Bunch's impact had, in the past 50 years, whether it be the real-life Brady Bunch, the success of Barry Williams' 1992 memoir, Growing Up Brady, the countless references that have gone on TV shows like The Simpsons, Family Guy, Bridesmaids, movies too, Big Bang Theory, and there was even an X-rated spoof videos called Not the Brady's Triple X. And then, of course, on HGTV, when the actual Brady kids went and refurbished the actual home that was used for the exterior shots and made it resemble the interior of the Brady Bunch home circa 1972.
Yes. It looks like she's done all the research that I had to do when I was hosting the Sherwood Schwartz tribute nights at Just for Laughs with Barry Williams.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun show.
Yeah.
That was a fun show.
It was a lot of work, but I enjoyed it. Playing a cross between Oprah Winfrey and James Lipton.
Yeah. That's true. But you didn't do the Brady choreography, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I pulled my punches on that one.
But, the book, The Way We All Became the Brady Bunch, I found to be a complete history of a family TV sitcom with a twist, which was universally panned and garnered middle ratings during its original run, and somehow became a TV icon because the premise of two widowed people and their respective kids who came together by marriage and became the ideal image of the kind of nuclear family that we all hope to aspire to, and how its popularity with viewers still endures 50 years later.
Okay, I have one big question that will go a long way into the credibility of this book, because it's always been a bone of contention for me.
Right.
And the reason it's a bone of contention for me is because I am friends with someone who was on the show, and I have never appreciated the way he has been treated through the years.
You're talking about Robbie Riss, the Cousin Oliver syndrome?
Thank you very, very much. What did she say about Cousin Oliver?
Well, it was, the Cousin Oliver syndrome got fair play in the book. It is written extensively, and I think she did interview Riss for it, and it was basically, like you said, it wasn't what it was. I mean, it wasn't exactly a curse. It was just,
Did she point out the fact that the show was basically already canceled when he was brought on the show for the final episodes? Does that point come up?
Yeah, that's come up in the book.
Thank you, because that's the thing that drives me nuts. And anyway, don't get me started, because I go into a long rant about this, because he also played Ted Baxter's son on Mary Tyler Moore, and that was also near the end of that run. So it just fuels this idea that Robbie Riss is somehow evil, or the Grim Reaper of shows, and that's just not the case.
Well, you mean like Ted McGinley, Grim Reaper, that kind of thing?
Thank you. Yes, like Ted McGinley.
Yeah, I think she gives Robbie Riss a fair shake in this book.
Thank you. Well, then that's an added star as far as I'm concerned, if she gives Robbie Riss what he is due.
Oh, no. That's what lends itself to being a thorough history of this show.
Okay, because Robbie was a talented kid, and he's a talented adult as well. And that's all I'm going to say. Actually, okay. I'm going to say one more thing. Robbie also has a great podcast called The Spoon, which he does with Tom Bowers and Chris Jackson. And I've been lucky enough to guest on that show on a few occasions. And it's a great show every week. It's called The Spoon. So there you go.
Okay. So look, I give him a little bit of publicity. No problem. That's no problem.
Yeah. I've always got time for Robbie. He's a great guy to talk to.
Well, I also remember him on Lucas Tanner also.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah, you're right. He's like the unsung hero of, you know, pop, the 70s television.
Yeah, and a great musician. He's done the music for some of the Sharknado movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he was unceremoniously killed in the first Sharknado movie where he played a school bus driver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But look, his musical talent brought him even further.
Exactly. Anyway, the book is called?
It's called The Way We All Became the Brady Bunch. It's by Kimberly Potts. It's published by Grand Central Publishing, and it's $35.
And what other books do you bring up in a similar vein this week, sir?
Well, yes, they're all Brady books, so it's going to be a very literary Brady experience. So first of all, we have to recommend Barry Williams' 1992 best-selling memoir, Growing Up Brady, which really had the ball rolling for the new phase of Brady Bunch appreciation.
I have my copy signed by Barry Williams.
I lost mine, so I'll have to go find it in eBay. And Sherwood Schwartz wrote a memoir about putting together the Brady Bunch called Brady, 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 which I thought was a line he stole from Inherit the Wind.
I got to tell you very quickly a Sherwood Schwartz story. I'm backstage with Sherwood Schwartz, and we're supposed to go on stage in less than 2 minutes, and I just couldn't shut him up because he was telling, not that I wanted to, because he was telling great story after great story. And I said, sure, save it for the stage. But he was telling stories about when he used to write for Red Skelton, and he was going on and on and on. And each story was just better than the last one. And it's like, Sherwood, you know, we got to go on stage. Can you cut it down? And we'll talk about that on stage. But what a wonderful man Sherwood Schwartz was. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful man.
Yeah. Yes, he was. He certainly was.
Anyway, this week's book again is?
The Way We All Became the Brady Bunch. Don't sing along, please. By Kimberly Potts, published by Grand Central Publishing, and it's $35.
And in which one of the squares can we find you, sir?
Well, you probably find me where Bobby usually is, in the lower right-hand square.
Okay.
That's where you find me. But if you can't, you can find me on the pages of the Montreal Times, either in print or digitally at www.mtltimes.ca.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. I mean, Peter, sorry. Or was it Greg? I'm not sure.
Stuart Nullman with another edition of Book Banter here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. And as Stuart always knows, it's best when Sam the Butcher at least has something in the store that is kosher.
Mazel tov.
The Stuff File.
And we're just about a racetrack for this edition of the Stuff File program. We just have one more item to go here on a show that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio, and of course, Spotify. And you know what that moment is, boys and girls. It's time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. This Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
And it is with profound sadness that for the second week in a row, this segment goes to someone who flaunts the idea that the coronavirus isn't dangerous. A California social media prankster claims he was hospitalized with the coronavirus just days after posting a video of himself licking a toilet bowl for a nauseating online challenge. The TikTok personality, known as Lars, reportedly posted footage of himself in a hospital bed on Sunday. "I tested positive for coronavirus," the 21-year-old from Beverly Hills tweeted on a Twitter account that has since been suspended. It comes just 2 days after the prankster, who goes by the social media handle Gay Sean Mendez, posted a video of himself running his tongue across a public toilet as part of a bizarre and widely criticized coronavirus challenge on social media. The craze, seen mainly on TikTok, spurs users to post footage of themselves licking everything from toilets to grocery store produce. It wasn't clear whether Lars's apparent infection was linked to the stunt. I say apparent because, While he is in hospital, I cannot confirm or deny that he is indeed infected, because after all, he is into publicity stunts. But that's not the point. Because, stunt or not, he did definitely lick a public toilet. And he is not the only person who is doing this. There are others out there licking all kinds of porcelain thrones, from public washrooms to those on airplanes. So, the question has to be asked, why? Oh, why? Whether we're in the midst of a contagious pandemic or not, would you feel the urge to lick a public or even private toilet? One reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0554. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links to all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0554. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as PA Holder. And don't forget to check us out on Patreon.com, where you can become a patron of the program. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, GDPR Revolution 99, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on Apple or Google Podcasts, streaming on Spotify and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. No animals were harmed in the production of this program, except, of course, the tasty ones. Good night and pass the paprika.